to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope everybody's had an excellent week. Despite a couple of rain showers and a couple of storms, I believe we've all fared well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I had a list. Somebody has birthdays and all this good stuff. I do. I don't know where mine went to. Hey, Mr. Sam. Good morning. Did you have fun last week? You did? Did you eat a lot? Did you get several hugs? Well, that ain't no fur. Well, see, if I'd have been here, we'd have taken care of that. I hope you had a happy birthday, Mr. Sam. Hallelujah. I'm just sorry I missed it. I like aggravating this man. But anyway, hallelujah. We have birthdays, the 5th and the 6th. That's Brittany Kane and Bobby Johnson. Wednesday is Bible study and prayer. Starts at 6. Also, music practice will be at 6. And from Pastor Shirley. It says, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen? Hallelujah. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Hey, I said that right, didn't I? You just go, girl.
Yeah, sing it, Dad. Come on, Nana, sing it. Go ahead.
Uh-uh. Go ahead, sing That's it, before R.
Come on, Nana.
That's before R. Anyway.
One's in here that's been around since. Beloved, let us love one another. Come on now. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8.
Now, that was before R.
That was before R, before Ricardo.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Has everybody gotten a handout? That is really a nice section that Shirley wrote in there about this. And would you stand for the reading of the word today, please? Is there any more announcements before we read this?
I just want, there's just one little thing on there, Cardo, that I want to say about. I found this, you know how it is, on Facebook. A lot of things on Facebook I just skip on by. But I like this saying as we start worship this morning. It's what worship is, okay? Worship is a believing heart's response to the work of the Holy Spirit, not an emotional response to the quality of the music.
That's right.
Regardless who shows up, who doesn't show up, what instruments you're used to, maybe you don't have them that morning. When we gather together as believers, we gather together to worship the Lord and not have an emotional response toward perfection. Practice is good, and it helps a lot. But when it comes time to worship, you lay aside everything else, and you get in the presence of God. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I was reading the handout, and before I received it this morning, before I went to print off the list, I was looking for scripture to read. And anyway, I come up on Psalm 91. And that's where I stopped at. And then I got to reading the handout. I don't know where else Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have been, but under the wing of the Lord, amen. That's exactly right. And you know, it's just awesome. Just awesome what? It's awesome that this country is free and free to worship the Lord. And awesome that we don't have to hide our Bibles. It's awesome that we can worship publicly. You know, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, I guess the older I get, the more I realize how fragile this really is. Because it could be gone in just overnight. It could all be gone. And as a man, we need to make sure we do our best to head our households and do our best to teach our kids right. Believe me, I fall short a lot, but it's not for the lack of trying. God is good. And if you let Him lead, the path is a whole lot straighter. Amen. But anyway, Psalms 91 said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I can relate to that. "And from the perilous pestilence, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destructions that lies waste at noonday." The God we serve is an awesome God. For thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Hallelujah. Only your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge. Even though the Most High your dwelling place, nor evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And then in their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against a stone. I have to turn the page. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Hallelujah. You know, that means all your problems are under your feet. All your problems. Young, old, it doesn't make any difference. God is in control of all this. Amen. "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name." Hallelujah. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him up and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's just an awesome thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the reading of your word, and I thank you for this ensemble that's gathered here today, Heavenly Father. Just be with us, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, to be able to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, your kids can drag you in some places. You know that? Just start any time, honey. Sometimes it's hard to follow the leader. Amen? It is what it is. Sometimes it's hard to follow the leader. Sometimes you might have this path just laid right out, and then somebody change your directions.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the truth. Sometimes you got to watch who's in front of you. Just like driving a car, you got to watch what's going on. Amen? You just can't take it for granted that that's where it's going to be. It is what it is. Amen. But God is good regardless. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when I was in music, when I was in band, I had this director by the name of Dan Harris. And we always thought he was from the military. Oh, yeah. When we went to the field to do competition, we were right. But in practice, especially when we did our in-house stuff, like we would learn into a particular piece to play, when he was standing up here in front of us, our eyes was on him. We watched him. With your walk with Christian, when you're doing your Christian walk, your eyes need to be on the Lord.
Amen.
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 That's the way that works. Amen.
Amen.
So this following people with authority starts when you're this high. And if you take your eyes off that, sometimes you can sway to the left, or sometimes you sway to the right. But there's always that chance to get back in line with what's going on. Just like the Bible. If you fall short, you can always get right back in line with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Every now and again, people might get out of line. You know, ain't nobody been perfect but Grandpa and Nana, you know. And it's only two. But God is good, amen?
Amen.
And all the time, God is good. Go ahead, guys. It is what it is. I'm just grateful that somebody thought enough of this old boy to leave a road map for him to follow so that he can make sure he wound up in the right place. Because there's so many things that will distract us and get us out of line. We need somebody to drag us back. We need someone to say, hey, you know, you're getting out of bounds here. You need to watch what you're doing. We need that. We need that. I don't care how old we get. You know, we're subject to getting grumpier as we get older. Well, I don't want to do it that way. Well, that's the best way to do it, because if you don't, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Amen? But anyway, we'll get on with this. Jimmy, I ain't directing that toward you. I ain't doing that. Here we go, Kenzie. Let's do this. Say, Lord, I give all my praise to you. All the glory and honor to you. For all the things you say and do through me. Lord, I give all my praise to you. All the glory and honor to you. For all the things you say and do through me. Lord, don't ever leave me out of what the church is all about. So we ask, we cry aloud. I believe, Lord, don't ever leave me out of what the church is all about. In a world that's filled with doubt, I believe the time is here, the time is now, for the lightning and bright cloud. So we ask, we cry aloud, send the
Spirit came, and they were in the upper room, and the Spirit of God fell for the first time, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the fire came upon them. But you know, the thing is, that wasn't the only time that that happened to them, because we come together and we think, you know, I can't live on what I had yesterday, okay? I have to live on what I get today. And over on into Acts, it says, and they were going out, and they were being persecuted, and they were being talked about, and put in jail, and they were together again in a prayer group. Guess what happened again? Holy Spirit fell again. And it wasn't like they didn't have it before. It's just like he says, there comes times in your life when you need that new surge, you know, that surge of electricity, that surge of the power of God, because you've been fighting, you've been in battle. And you know, you come in, and the purpose of the church is to make sure when you leave here, you're energized. You're energized with the word of God and with the power of God working in your life. And you go out here and you be the church when you go out of here, because you got something when you came. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, Brother Danny.
Say, Lord, I thank you for the rain.
I thank you for the rain.
Lord, I thank you for the rain.
You know, I've been blessed to be around and see what God does for us, see what God does through us, and by those two things alone, it's just been very educational. And to know that if he'll do it for the people that you're around, that he'll do it for you. Because he's not a respecter of persons, amen? And when you hear so much about people overcoming cancer and the little things that bother people, like a little nagging bill or anything, and all of a sudden it's just miraculously it's taken care of, or the money is miraculously there, that just shows you the authority that we are living under, amen? And the same power that rose Jesus from the grave,
amen,
lives in us as well. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead, y'all. Uh-oh. Hold on.
Hallelujah. Well, I was kind of looking forward today just to kind of sitting back and just receiving. But there's something stirring in my spirit, and I've got to get it out there into the atmosphere.
Amen.
We're entering into the sixth month of this year, and our theme for New Life this year is talking about David when he had lost everything, and that this is our year to recover all. Some of you have gone into the sixth month, and as you look back over since the first of the year, it seems like you've lost more than you have recovered. And God just wants me to get this word out here to you that this month is a month of recovery. You're going to see some things. You're going to begin to see some things to recover. And God says, continue to believe that this is your time of recovery. David had lost everything. All of his family, everything was gone. And David began to encourage himself in the Lord. And as Pastor Laverne said, when we come into the house of the Lord on Sunday morning, we are encouraged. Encouraged. And sometimes nobody around you is there going to be encouraged, but you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. So David began to encourage himself in the Lord. And he began to say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do? And God said, David, it's time to go recover all. And that's what God is saying to some of you all today. It's time to recover all. He said, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your vision. Don't give up on those people that you've been praying for. Because because this is the month that, you know, when God begins to do something in the earth, he begins to look for somebody that has cried out to him and said, Lord, I'm going to believe that you are the God of the impossible. And so when we begin to see God's hand move in the earth, that means somebody has been in the prayer closet. That means somebody has said, Lord, this is what your word said, and I'm not going to give up on what your word says. And I really sense in my spirit some of you on the breaking point of giving up. God said, I've come to encourage you today by my Holy Spirit not to give up, because just about the time you're ready to give up, the breakthrough is there. Amen. And Wednesday night, as we were beginning to pray, I just seen a dark cloud just like coming in. I left church and it was still there. And God reminded me yesterday and even this morning, and as I was praying, I began to see that cloud just about the time it got to the point where it seemed it was going to overtake. Sun, all at once, the clouds broke and the sun shone through. And God said, that which the enemy has meant for your harm, he said, the sun is going to shine again upon you, and you are going to see the hand of God in your life. Amen. So I just want to encourage you today. And God said, David, go and recover all. It's the season. So God just want to remind you today not to give up, not to quit, for this is the season of recovery. Amen. So I just want you to lift your hands this morning. And as Ricardo said, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is inside of you. And you know, he's given us the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues for a purpose. And we believe in the full gospel at this church. Amen. We believe that the Acts has not had its final. Amen. But we are living out that book of Acts today. So I just want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Shalanuku sahateya. Malito sataya nisia babahasaya. And I hear the Lord say, this is indeed the season. This is indeed the day, says the Lord. This is indeed the season that you're going to see and recover all. And those things that have cost you to sit back and sit down and cost you to be silent, God says there's a breakthrough coming on the left. There's a breakthrough coming in on the right. There's a breakthrough coming in over your head, says the Lord. There's a breakthrough in your feet, says the Lord. For I've anointed you this season. I have anointed you with great power. I've anointed you with great grace, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm going to cause you to rise above the circumstances. I'm going to cause you to rise above that report that man says you can't make it. I'm going to cause you to rise up at that report that those around you said you're not going to change. Nothing's going to change. Look, it's only getting worse. God says, I'm coming in like a flood. My spirit is coming in like a flood. And it's going to wipe away the doubt. It's going to wipe away the darkness. It's going to wipe away those things that the enemy has come and said, it's over. But God says, it's not over, because I've not had the final say. And no matter what anybody around you says, you keep believing me. You keep dancing. You keep walking. You keep rejoicing, says God. Just go ahead and come up here, brother. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Libre sheliti kushandala dedeya. Mama baba bahasaya. God says, I want to tell you that there's greater things yet to come. There are greater things yet to come. God says, I'm going to give you visions in the night season. I'm going to speak to you in a small whisper, says the Lord. So he said, always have an ear to hear. Always have eyes to see, says God, even into the depths of my spirit. For yes, it's only the beginning, says God, of that which I'm going to do within you and through you, says the Lord. And God says, I've anointed you to bring healing to the nations. And even as you begin to speak forth my word, there's going to be deliverance among the people. And you're going to walk forth with great glory. For this is the generation that I'm calling forth, even a young people. And I'm anointing them with the sword of my spirit, says God. And even as you begin to go forth, be faithful to speak what I would put in your spirit to speak. Don't be concerned how and when, says God. But I'll open the door, because it's not man, but it's by my spirit. And with great grace, you shall see my hand move on your behalf. In Jesus.
I thank you for the rain. Hallelujah.
Oh, I love the Jesus. I love the one that saved me. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, had I have known at a young age this feeling I have now, I'd have been with that feeling a long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have been I'd have been under the Lord. I'd have been under that almighty wing. I'd have been in his presence more often, amen? Do you realize the authority that he has given you? You can't describe it. But I know that if I go and pray for somebody, my faith is strong enough that I believe what I'm praying for. And if they believe it, or two will agree on it, it's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. And I just thank you. Just thank you, Jesus. I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sounds of nations rising up.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
I can walk down this dark and painful. Every fear of the unknown, I can hear all God's children singing out.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in.
We stand here in victory. Oh, in victory.
Sing one more song and then get right out of the way.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you a little secret. The God I serve, He'll never get in our way. You know that? He won't get in our way. That thing that we have called choice, that little thing prevents Him from getting in our way. You know, I promise you, if you go out here and get ready to do something wrong, something to say, don't do that. Now, whereas something will actually just step in your way, no. Because if you make the wrong choice, you're going to reap the consequences. You're going to get whatever you get, amen? But the great thing about that is, when you fall short, there's somebody standing here like this. That's awesome, amen? Now, that ain't telling you to go out here and do something wrong because you will be forgiven for it. They ain't telling you to do that.
That's right.
That's just telling you that if you make a mistake, that there is this thing called repenting, and there is this thing called forgiveness, amen? Because the Lord is about that, amen? Oh, hallelujah. We're going to do this song, and I'm going to sit down.
Magnify the Lord. You all have to excuse me because I do not have a voice. So this is my good friend Dom. I've known him for how long now?
A little bit.
We have a mutual friend that brought us closer together. And we go to church on Sunday nights together at a counter in Greene County. And this man's come a long way from where he started, and he's going to give you all his testimony.
I love you too. All right. Much y'all know, I was kind of nervous coming in here, but I'm telling you right now, Spirit's in here. Man. And like, I'm just telling you right now, God hit me by his behind his cross. He said, Dom, I got you. I got you the whole way. And I thank him so much. There we go. Well, it's been an honor. I'm glad I've been invited here to speak in front of you. I've never did this before. I've sang in front of people, but I've never did this before, and it's an honor. God's good. So let me start off where I was young, I got saved. So you know when you're in a young age, you get saved. I got saved at 10 years old at Youth Fest. And sometimes you think when you're a little kid that you have your friends with you. So you're like, oh, crap, he's going to the altar, so I'm going to go to the altar. It's kind of that thing. So it was like, well, it was just kind of like, oh, it was kind of like a game. It's kind of like, dang, if he raises his hand, I'm going to raise my hand. So it was kind of like I didn't really have faith. I just wanted to go up there and do it. So I got saved by my cousin DeMarcus Compton and her friend Jasmine. And so on. I go, and I'm like, hey, I'm getting saved. Okay, it's no big deal. I don't have to worry about it. I just did it. So growing up, I wasn't wealthy at all. I lived tough. It was bad. Like, I mean, I was moving constantly all the time. Mom switching jobs back and forth. Never knew where I was going to sleep every night. It could have been somewhere at somebody's house, my grandma's house, a different house next day. I never knew. So not really having a mom growing up, it was kind of tough because I had to do it myself. And, I mean, it was tough. I did it since I was, 10 years old to about 18, 19. Then I started getting older, started maturing more. But living by myself and besides my grandma, she's not really my grandma. I got two half-brothers, and I got three half-sisters in Tennessee, which I just found out about 2 years ago. And so their grandma, she's been there since I was 9 months. And her son, Shane, my brother's dad, has been there since I was 9 months. And I thank the Lord for them, because if I didn't have them, there's no telling where I'd be at. All right. So I move on to high school. Skip over to the high school stage. I got involved with the outside world. Y'all know how it is when you get in high school. You want to follow. You don't want to be a leader. You want to follow the people that's going and doing all this other stuff. So I go and I'm partying. Like I'm talking about, I followed everybody. I was partying, doing all this nonsense. I'm gonna tell you, I was bad. I would come to church, like not sober at all. I'm talking about I would be kind of down. So it was bad. And so this is the thing. My buddy Cade, he's not here. He's on vacation. He's like my right hand man. That man lives for the Lord. He's a rock. I'm telling you, he's a rock. He's not here, but he's texting me today. He texted me a text message. We text back and forth, send verses and stuff. And he told me, he said, this is why we go by faith in God and not turn to worldly things. The things we see here are temporary, but God is eternal. Right. And me in high school, I was going for the temporary things. God is eternal. I'm telling you, He can do anything, and it says in the Bible, I read it, and it says all things near are coming to an end, will come to an end. And think about it. God's going to exalt over all of this. Ain't he? He's going to wipe everything away. He's the only God that can do it, I'm telling you. And a lot of people nowadays is like, I worried about money. In high school, I was worried about, man, what kind of money? It's like this. Let me tell you, I read about it in the Bible. You can't serve two gods, money and God. And you can't. You got to go either one. And at that time, I was picking money and partying and doing all this. So I was involved with sports. I played basketball. I worked hard at it, very hard. So I get there. I had a full ride to play basketball at Union College out of Barboursville, Kentucky. I thought everything was easy. I was like, yeah, God, I don't have to worry about nothing. I didn't think about it right now. I'm still not faithful with the Lord. I'm over here doing my own thing, worrying about the outside world. You can mess up when you get started messing with the outside world. You don't put him. I put everything else, my priorities. You're supposed to put God as your first priority. So I'm going. I'm doing all this other stuff, and I thought everything's easy, so I'm not worried about nothing. I'm just like, so like any other college student, they worry about partying 100% of the time. Am I wrong? I mean, really, they worry about partying. That's all it is. College is about partying. That's it. And people start dropping out and start losing their mind and they get behind on classes and whatnot. So I start to miss basketball meetings. Yeah. And I was redshirting varsity. I'm not going to lie to you. I redshirted varsity. They wanted me to sit out a year because I was kind of younger. Everybody else was older. So I was redshirting varsity. So I would take naps. You know how it is. You want to take naps, you get tired. I started missing meetings. Started failing classes. So I'm thinking to myself, I can't do this anymore. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And the thing about this, what I should have did was calling the Lord, and he solves all our problems. But I did not do that. I was hard-headed. I was a hard-headed person. I kind of still am today. That's one of my weaknesses I pray about every day. Very hard-headed. But that's the thing. I thought... there's nothing I can do anymore. So this is exciting. See, I'm like, dang, I don't know what to do. So I drop out. Yeah. So I drop out. So I'm trying to transfer schools in the middle of semesters. You can't do that. So I'm like, well, I think I can do it. So I was hard-headed, not listening to everybody. I thought I can do my own way and not do God's way. So like I'm over here doing my thing. I'm talking about that temporary. You're worried about the outside world. I was worried about the outside world too much. So I go, and I start transferring schools. I wanted to go to Campbell University, play basketball. The coach said you can't come unless you stay a whole semester. You have a 2.0 GPA. Well, heck, I didn't even finish a whole semester. I stayed for 2 months. So there's no way I was going. So I was going downhill. So I get to that point. And so, like, I'm at college, and then my buddy Cade, he found the Lord. His girlfriend and their family got him to church. I'm telling you, he was just like me. And I was like, dang, dude, I want what he wants. And I was realizing, I'm like, wow, like, I'm like, he's living through Christ. I want to do what he's doing. Like, his life's so good. Like, don't get me wrong, Christians, we're not perfect. Just like y'all said, we're not perfect at all. There's no way we can be perfect as he is. I'm just saying. But, like, he was living pretty good, put God as his first priority. So I wanted that feeling. And I knew I was missing something really bad. And that was God, for sure. So I ended up going to church with Cade and his family, the parent family. They're not here, they're on vacation, but I want to start going to church with them. And so, like, and then I start like, all right, cool, this is starting to get that little spirit in me a little bit. So I'm like, all right, well, heck, I'm going to get baptized. So I got baptized, got a member. So think about this, I become a member of GBC, Greensburg Baptist Church in Greensburg, Kentucky. So I was like, dang, that's good. I don't have to worry about anything. So the thing I thought about was that I can get baptized, and I thought that was good. And that's why I struggle about. And so, and here in a second, you'll see this little pattern I got going, what I had. So I run away from everything. I get mad. Me and my buddies, we bought a house over by the country club in Greensburg. Me and my buddy Nate, he's going down a bad road too. He moved back. I wanted to move out. He moved out on us. So I was like, well, heck, I don't want to live here because I don't want to get everybody fussing at me because we're supposed to split rent. Like, what are we supposed to do? So I'm over here mad. I'm praying, trying to put faith in it. And I really did not have God in my heart because I thought baptized gives you saved. That's what I thought. I ain't going to lie to you. That's what I thought. And so, like, I'm over here praying, praying. Nothing's happening. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to run away. I'm just going to run away. Get away from everything. Lost faith in God. Moved to Richmond, Kentucky. Y'all know where that's at? EKU. It's up there. College. Very sinful city, I'm going to tell you. There's nothing good about the up there. So I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing good about nothing up there. So I go up there, and I'm living it out for about a couple months. And so I'm living it out, I'm partying, doing all this, and doing all this other nonsense. And so I come back home. We have a youth fest every year in Greensburg. It's a very big event. It's a three-day thing for a weekend. And I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest things that ever happened was God was moving in a mighty way. I'm talking about, for some reason, I repent. And then I started getting God in my life. And then it started felt really good. And I was like, dang, dude, this is going to be awesome. So I was like, well, this is a great feeling. So God's moving my way. I'm praying. And then some of my friends I didn't think would ever come to that altar was coming. I'm talking about, this is 2017. And he was like, and I'm like talking to him. He's like, yeah, so your friend's coming. He's coming. I look over. I'm like, wow, he's that powerful. He can do anything that you ask. And so Youth Fest, I get to that. And so I came to the point where I was surrounding myself with bad company while time being a Christian. And you know that don't work. I'm telling you right now, you could have 100-pound armor on you. I'm talking about devil will sneak up in there somehow, some way. He'll tempt you to do anything. So he surrounded me with bad people with my walk through Christ. I was really strong. I was on fire all the time. I'm talking about fire. Like Christian music comes on, I'm moving. But I start surrounding myself. I thought I can do both things. You know, that's the double life. I'm a double life, having that mask on, a fake mask. And you can't do that. And so this is a verse I read out of 1 Corinthians 15:33-34. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there is some who are ignorant of God and say this to your shame. And so what I say, I mean, they corrupted my good character. My character was gone. And then people started realizing, like, dang, dude, he's living that double life. And they started, I was trying to hide it, but I couldn't. There's no way you can hide that. Somebody's going to find out. He's fine. He knows. And so I couldn't stop sinning. And I just felt bad. I just felt that conviction in my heart. I was like, dang, I'm not even a Christian anymore. I'm over here doing this, partying and going to church, partying and going to church. You can't do that. So, like I even wrote down here, I have a pattern going. Then, I go downhill again. I go back to Richmond, Kentucky. Yeah. Going to party, everything. I was mad at the world, still praying and asking God to do something in my life. And I'm over here still trying to party and do all this. And God's not going to do nothing for you unless you put effort into it. And you're over here doing this stuff, sinning. He's not going to go like, hey, I'm going to help you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to do that. And so I realized I had to make the first step for sure. First step to come on here. All right, Lord. I think I should, like, because the whole time I was up there, I knew deep down I needed to come back. But the devil was like, no, you can stay. You can party, do all this. You got this. And I can just feel it. And I pray. I cried. Very sensitive person. I'm telling you, I will cry. Very. I'm not going to kid to you. I'm hard-headed, but I'll cry in front of you. But the thing is, I wouldn't make that first step at all and let him do what he had to do. But and eventually, I prayed. My pastor brother Blake would text me. He's like, man, where you at? I'll come pick you up. I'm over here texting everybody. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. I would call my friend Corey. He's not here today, but he's at work. But I would call him every night. I'm like, dude, I don't know what to do. He's telling me to come home. It's the best thing for me. Best thing for me. I know that, but I'm so hard. I was hard-headed, letting the devil stick me back in and say, no, you're good. You stay here. I'm talking about I didn't have a job up there. I was just living off whatever was thrown at me the whole time. So come back home again to Greensburg. Start getting the flow again with the people I'm not supposed to be around. Start sinning again. So I'm like, crap, dude. Like, I mean, this is all right. It's fun, and it don't last. You cannot just keep sinning and doing all this. It don't last. Trust me, it's not, because you're gonna regret it at the end. And so while I'm doing all this nonsense and really messing up, I'm missing something, a very big picture. You know, the God Almighty. I'm telling you, I was really missing Him. I don't know what it was. I know I was missing Him in my heart. So Youth Fest 2018 comes around. This year, it's the Youth Fest's 3-day weekend event, like I said, and which I've been asked to lead a choir. I like doing that stuff. I like to lead a choir and stuff like that. I like to get into it. So I got asked to do that. So after the second night, I'm over here. I repented again. I repented and did all this and stuff like that. After the second night, a buddy that's in the choir, he plays the bass for the band for the when we were singing, he asked me, "You want to go to the party?" And so I'm like, "All right, let's do it." And deep down, I'm like, "Dude, I don't think we should do this." I'm not mentioning no names, but I'm just saying, I don't think we should do this. I was just like, dang, I don't think I should do this. But I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to do it anyways. So after we get praising the Lord and stuff like that, I was like, my heart knowing I shouldn't do it. After praising the Lord beforehand, it was miserable. I'm talking about when I went up there, it was miserable. The whole time I went up in that party, I was just singing all these bad words, cuss words, and it just felt miserable. So the third night comes along. This gets interesting. I'm going to tell you right now, this is where it changed my life right here. All right, third night comes along. Everybody knows what I did that night. Kay's girlfriend, Gracie, she's crying, and I'm asking, like, why she's crying? Like, why are you crying? And she wouldn't talk to me. And later on, I figure out why she was crying. But anyways, the third night, so I'm walking around. I kind of feel guilty. I'm like, dang, dude, I just did that. I had to repent again. I'm walking around, and Leah Hayes, she's like my big sister. She goes to Encounter with her. She sings. Paige Cook, her husband's a preacher, and Debbie, I call her my guardian angel. You'll see why. This is how God changed my life completely. So, all right, I'm just gonna say, I'm walking in the gym. We're having a gym in there, like where we had it at. We're walking in. I'm walking like this. Them three right there, like kind of walking towards me, and I'm just like, all right, cool. So y'all know what y'all trying to do. Y'all trying to like trap me somewhere. So we're walking down here. There's doors outside over here. And so I'm walking. I'm like, dude, what the heck are they doing? Like, I'm over here walking like this. And I'm like, and finally I get outside in the corner. I'm like, all right, what are y'all doing? Like, I'm really lost. So I'm like, they're like, well, you're holding something back. And I did lead the choir. They're like, you're holding something back. So I'm like, really? She's like, yes. Then she started saying some words, and I knew it was God speaking to her. She's a powerful woman, prayer warrior at her best. I'm telling you, she's a rock, too. I'm strong. And so, like, this woman, Debbie, I call her Myrtle. That's her nickname, her Myrtle. Got her oil out. She said, you're holding something back. And she anointed me head to toe. I'm talking about when that woman anointed me head to toe, I've never felt so changed in my life. I did not want to go back to that at all. Yeah. It gets me chills, because I was like, wow, God works in mysterious ways. Because, like, and the thing is, let me skip real quick, like, to, like, well, Gracie, Kay's girlfriend, she was crying. She was crying because she knew that I went to that party. And so she was praying, and I was like, why aren't you talking to me? Because she knew I went to that party. She was disappointed because I was being fake. While I was doing a double life, trying to do the same thing again. But when that girl Myrtle anointed me head to toe, never felt the same. I walked out of that. She anointed, all right, this is, I'm going to tell y'all something. She anointed my feet. She said, let fire be on your feet. So every time Christian music, anything, my feet are moving. And it's pretty good. I love how God can work in that way, and it's amazing. And I walk out. And this is when I really had a conversation with God. I'm just going to tell you, I never did really have a conversation with Him until that time. I walked out crying. God was pouring into me and filling me back up to the brim. Like it says in the Bible, it fills you up to the brim. So I'm walking out crying, coming outside, and I'm talking to Him like, God, are you serious? Is this for real. He's like, I'm telling you, he's just talking to me. He said, Dominique, this is about the last time. You cannot keep living this double life. You're going to have to stay and walk in Christ, be a disciple, and lead. And so I'm like, crap, dude, he's really, he ain't playing, bro. He's not playing at all. And so I'm like, well, all right. I'm over crying. And so I walk back in there. I'll keep crying. I'm still crying until we used to go up there and sing. And I'm talking about when we went up there and did that, I was over doing this. And, like, because the first 2 days I was just like this, like, okay, yeah, cool, like that. We did a little sway, whatever. But then the third night I went up there and I'm just like, wow. And then the song started playing. I'm crying in front of the people. I don't like crying from people, but God had a hold of me, and he was like, I'm pointing out, no matter who's seeing you, no matter who's judging you, no matter what you're doing. So I was like, all right, cool. So I'm over here. I had glasses on, whatever. They had glasses there. I threw it down. I was over here moving and dancing, and I was like, hey, man, I'm glad he's done that. And so he's done so much for me, and, like, God's is really, really powerful God. I really thank him for everything he's done, because I went down that bad road. And, buddy, I'll tell you, I went down a bad road, but he has changed me. He has gave me a new address, as I say. He's gave me a new address, and my old one is gone. And so, and then I'm so bold, I'm so strong bold, like I'm talking like nothing. If I see something that's tempting, I'm just like, dude, I'm so spirit-filling. I don't go with the flesh at all. I go with the spirit, and it's really tough for youth and adults too. The flesh gets you, and the temptation, the stuff you don't want to do, it'll come get you. It'll sneak up behind you. But I built so much up, talking about reading the Bible every day, sending messages to the group chat. You can ask Kenzie and them. I send them every night at a Proverbs about a lot of wisdom, and hang out with foolish people. The wicked lead you down a wrong path. I'm talking about, I read it. Because, Proverbs has 31, so I start from 1 to 31 in the month. Read it all and over again. I just learn something new every day that I've done. So I read that, read it, and every time, because when I was a Christian, when I did repent, I didn't read my Bible at all. So it's kind of like, well, I ain't really getting none of that. So, I'm reading my Bible. I'm like, dude, I'm getting so much out of this. I'm accountable to them. If they need me, they call me. I tell them. God knows what. Tells me what to say, and like back then I would not know what to say, and it's a really blessing that he's gave me that, that's the end of it. But I want to end on one of my favorite verses that I go by. It's 1 Peter 3:13-17, and who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for a hope that is in you, than meekness and fear. Then you skip down to 17, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for good than to doing evil. Amen, right. And so, anybody that comes up to me is like, dang, Dom, I can't believe you're talking like this. I'm talking, I already had it right off the bat. Just like the other day, I had a couple friends, they're like, dang, you don't ever chill with us anymore. I'm just like, I'm just not doing what you're doing. I'm doing what God wants me to do, walking with him. So it's so much spirit in me, and I'm thankful, and then I have something to go right back at us, like I have a defense. And like my brother, half-brother says, like, I can't believe you're saying this. Well, I'm going to tell you straight up, God's got a hold of me, and he's going to have a hold of me for the rest of my life, and then I know where I'm spending eternity. Right, so that's kind of it, but it's been good, and I'm really honored. God is a very good God, and then it was good to share my testimony in front of y'all. It's the first time I've did it. God, I know that, and I was really nervous, but like I said, he hit me behind that cross, and let God, he took over my mouth. He really did, didn't he? Come on now. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Now we're going to do some music for you.
Yeah.